Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is right now when it comes to their evaluation of the WWE versus AEW and the bias they don't want to admit that they have, but fucking lives in everything they write and how they write it. It's adorable. For example,
I'll say I must have not read enough things this weekend because
My favorite example of this, Craig, is show reviews. These websites do show reviews.
Yes, I know.
We should talk about this on the show. But like,
just trust me. Just keep going. I'll edit it into something.
So I was flipping through an unnamed website 114 that had its evaluation of AEW's Double or Nothing, and it had its evaluation of the Saudi Arabia show Night of Champions. And the reviewers have their own different way of like evaluating these matches, right? Like, you know, A, B, C, or D scale, or whatever. And I'm reading through these two shows and looking at their scores, and I can't remember what the Night of Champions was, but the AEW one stuck out like a sore thumb because I'm reading this person's review of these matches. In every match, Greg, they on the ABC scale are ranking it like there was one A match. They
gave you sure it wasn't a 5-star scale?
No, it was definitely a grading scale of A.
The reason why I'm asking is because I'm looking at one now, and the one I'm looking at is rating everything out of 5 stars, still with the same.
Here's where the bias comes in for me, though. So I'm reading through this review of Double or Nothing, and the person is consistently rating matches in
I found the letter grades you're talking about, by the way. But keep going.
Of like, and most of these are rating everything is pretty low. One match rated an A, and that was the title match. They get to the bottom of the score. So if something averages a C in general parlance, just on the basic understanding of how things worked in grade school, a C was like a 70, right? 70.
Really, 70 to 79. The show. 70 to 79 would be considered a C in modern day grading.
Right. This overall rating of the show, which in C stood for average, right? Yeah. Average show. Not bad, not great. Show rated an A, or an 8 out of 10. So you've given it a B, you bumped it up, you say it's a good show, but almost every match you say is average to not average. So that's an implicit bias that I don't see consistently given to WWE rated shows. And that's a problem. And that's why I will laugh at any person on the internet who calls me a fucking WWE apologist or some sort of whatever, because you fucking do it for AEW all the time. And it's insane that you can sit there and say, this match isn't good. This match isn't good. And you grade it up. You say a match isn't good and you still give it a C. So you still call it average. But you're like, this match isn't good. This match isn't good. This match isn't good. This match isn't good. But the show is good. Make up your fucking mind.
It's funny too because the overall, the everything is a C.
Just lie about the matches.
Like I didn't, I haven't ranked everything yet, but it's very much like I thought about going through an averaging, but the average would probably be a C plus or a C. Like just looking at the letter grades.
Like what are we doing?
And they did. They gave it 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10.
Now, and the thing about, and we've talked about this before, it's a separate, like it's a formatting thing. Like you put in the score at the end and you do all of that, and that's how it comes up, and you put in your review and it formats it and makes it look all pretty and everything. And it's completely independent of whatever the person writes inside the article itself. Just way that it's all formatting, right? It's all formatting. What's funny is that they have community grades, and their community grade is a 4 out of 10.
How about that?
Well, let me make sure. Hang on. I put in my grade for the community grade just to see. And it's coming up blank, so I don't know. I don't know how their community grading works.
So now I'm gonna take a look at. I think this is the same person. Well, look at their Knight of Champions. So the 411 rating was the 114 rating was an 8.5. Let's see what we got here. So we got a B. We got a B minus. We got a C plus. C plus. B. B plus. They actually like this show better.
Not by a ton.
Right. But a 0.5. So I'll cut it some slack. This review was a little bit closer. I still don't think it hit an 85%.
No, it's very interesting. And what's funny is that I'm reading this and like C plus for Gunther versus Mustafa. Mustafa, excuse me. And that match was fantastic. Like it was and the thing you have to understand when you're watching, and this is part of the problem. When you watch a WWE show, and I know you didn't watch this one, but when you watch a WWE show, you have to consider the commentary because the commentary is part of the story of a WWE event. I often refer to WrestleMania 31. And I went back and watched recently, some point last week, I watched Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania 31. And JBL's commentary just blows me away because the commentary is literally all about the fact that Roman's not ready for the spot he's in. Literally what everybody was saying online and complaining about was the story that JBL was telling. And then it played into the match as Roman built up. And then of course looked like he could win. And then Rollins cashes in and all of that. The match between Gunther and Mustafa Ali, Michael Cole and Corey Graves are basically like telling you Mustafa has no shot. He cannot beat Gunther. He cannot do this. So when he has his hope spots and the crowd is going absolutely bananas for this and they start believing on commentary, like it added so much to the story. And so for me, I guess I don't grade on – I grade on did they make it entertaining, and they made it entertaining. It's one of the best – it's one of the most entertaining matches of that event for me to watch because of what they did on – commentary and in the ring and all of that. The card was actually the worst match of the show, I thought, was Asuka and Bianca, which is the second time, in my opinion, they've had the worst match of a show because they had the worst match of WrestleMania this year. Not the worst match.
Well,
but
maybe we can move on from that for a little bit, though, because I do know the results. So,
what do you mean?
Of Asuka and Bianca?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can move on from, like, for whatever reason, it's not working for those two when they're in the ring.
Yeah. And I think
it could just be chemistry, you know.
I think Bianca is turning heel, Street Profits, and either they break up or both of them turn heel and we form something. Like, right. I don't think that's common. I just think a lot of it's sometimes I want to blame Bianca because I don't think she's as good as people say she is. But she's had some amazing matches. So it could just be those two. Sometimes two people just don't gel. And
Brett.
It could be Bianca and Asuka and the fact that they don't gel. I bet I could, because Asuka's like their version of Muda, right? And I'm sure we could go out there and find opponents that Muda did not gel with. And
oh,
we
yeah. could
find great examples. Because I know you didn't see it. You might have seen the highlights. But Asuka tried to use the mist at like midpoint of the match. Bianca successfully ducks him. Later in the match, Asuka's like either on the outside, on the apron. She's definitely in the ring, like on the ring. Spits the mist on her hand. And then Bianca picks her up for the KOD. And of course, the ref's behind like they normally are. And as she's up on Bianca's shoulders, she rubs her hand on Bianca's eyes to get nice. the effect of the mist, and then hits her with her kicks and then pins her. But I just thought that, and I guess on commentary, apparently Muda did that at some point because they were telling that story.
Huh.
Again, Corey Graves, probably the most underrated commentator just because he hates him so much, but he's an amazing storyteller. So he carries Raw in commentary, but especially every time Finn Balor yells at Kevin Patrick, because Corey's always like, I thought Irish people stuck together. So he's always having a blast on that. But no, I totally see what you're saying. And to reviewers' credit, he did give Night of Champions a higher score. And I would say the average, you know, was also
higher. It's close-ish.
But I do think that it's not, the scales aren't matching. That's for sure.
So that is so. Sure. I do. You talked about this formatting thing, and just because I don't have any experience with the site, so that for that rating of the show, is that like a collective of everybody from
no
the site?
No, that that's is the that author's rating
overall.
That is okay. The author's rating. Basically,
it's such a strange.
Basically, you put in your article whatever your text is. Whatever rating scale you used, if you even used a rating scale, because you could write this whole article and not grade every single match and then put in your overall rating with your overall comments, which are in a nice pretty box and all of that. And
maybe,
and then you just pick the rating, and you could give every match an A+ and rate the show a 1 out of 10. The website doesn't know. It's just a formatting thing for the content that the author puts together. And the website.
It's so funny because I would take that so seriously. Like you back would. When we used to do, because we did the nerd reviews. Like, and it was, what's that?
I said, oh, I missed those. Those were fun. I enjoyed reading those.
They were, but I didn't love doing them every week. I'll just put it that way. Maybe once a month. I don't know. But like I took like the overall rating part very seriously. Like if there were three of us, damn it, it was gonna be the average of our three scores. I was gonna do the math, and that was going to be it.
Right.
So Dave might blow the rating in one direction, or I would blow it in the other. And then, you know, we'd occasionally get like a Ray. We even got a PC Tunney appearance once. And maybe that's just it. Maybe it's not so much a bias as it feels like lazy work. Like it's work that, because when I look at this and I read what you wrote and then I see what you scored, writer, and it doesn't jive.
Right.
Like when your overall doesn't jive with what you've said about the show, that whether intentionally or unintentionally does create a bias.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look, as a reader, instantly, I mean, you saw where I went.
Yeah, because the overall rating is just a feeling, right? How did you feel about the show? You would, and I think people do differently. You would sit there and calculate out the average. But to me, if I'm watching Night of Champions, right, Gunther versus Mustafa Ali is not an equal share to Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like I can't weight those the same in my brain. And it's like I say about UFC all the time. You could watch a UFC pay-per-view, 5-match card.
Right.
First 4 matches are outstanding. Main event sucks. You're going to leave the sports
bar. You remember the main event.
Saying that show sucked, and you're going to give it a 3 out of 10. Even though academically,
we've talked about that with. Right.
But if the first four matches sucked and the main event's amazing, you're going to get in the car and you're going to be like, I can't wait till they come back. And I'm coming back to the sports bar next month to watch this. So I would not be able to just do an average of my score because certain things are going to be weighted much more heavily towards how I feel about the event. But I would also explain that in my summary. I would also be my average would be 7, but really, these are the reasons why I'm rating this event higher. Like that's, and they kind of do that. Because he even says the middle portion was weak, but the main events were one hit after another, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
And I guess I've never, I do very much look at the totality of the experience. And I am the type of guy who would rave over a good undercard match and be like, this is the greatest show. Let's talk about some of the matches that actually blew me away in a Ring of Honor, Milano Collection AT, I'm looking at you.
Right.
And what really I would come home with. So I don't know. Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe I'm being too hard. I
don't think you are. And I want to be clear about that. I don't think you're being too hard. I think instead what we stumble upon is the fact that there's more than one way to skin a cat. People are going to review events differently and people are going to rate events differently. And your rating of a show might not even match your enjoyment level of a show because of the rating that you want to use. Because you almost rate the show like you're a teacher grading an assignment. But whereas you would watch it more as a fan and a podcaster, and so you're going to focus on things a little bit differently. You're getting a little more caught up in the process, which is okay.
Well, there is an aesthetic involved too. I was an English major, man. I know all about entertainment as part of good narrative as well. Yeah. So I don't know. It's nuanced. It's nuanced.
Actually a great great point right there. Let me do this. I'm not even going to play the opening of the show because why? At this point, we're already 15 minutes.
Welcome to the Greg DeMarco Show, everybody.
Yeah, right. Unlike the Patrick O'Dowd Show 2 weeks ago, hosted by Greg DeMarco, which I will say is the best edition of the Patrick O'Dowd Show we've ever had. Thank you. I'm going to go to commercial because you brought up the good narrative, and I want to come back and talk about a bad narrative. So we'll be right back. Maybe. When it starts playing. Because I sure as hell clicked it. So this is where the commercial should be playing. But the program that plays the commercials is now frozen. The show's still recording, so we're good there.
Well, that's good. I guess we got that going for us.
So, nope. Now it doesn't like me. All right, let's try this again. Now let's try a commercial. Oh, that's interesting. Now it's not letting anything play, even though we have them. So we're going to try to restart the soundbite program. So let's do that. You're going to hear a ding or a beeping noise because that's what happens when you open up programs. There it goes. So we'll see. We'll see how this works. Live on the air. We'll do it live. I'm not editing this stuff out. I'm not at all. All right, we're going to try this one more time, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. So now we will try to go to commercial now. Huh. It's not allowing us to go to commercial. Interesting. Completely very, very interesting. I don't know why these aren't working. Must be a setting thing. Now that we're back on the Zoom. Because you had
hashtag Greg's fault.
No sound bites are working. I just tried to play Adam Cole, baby, and there's nothing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to commercial, and we're going to come right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now we're back, which is highly entertaining for Patrick and I, when it was just a 4 second, not even a 4 second pause. So you brought up the great narrative and being an English teacher. And I want to go to the bad narrative, Patrick O'Dowd, because I did text you an article that we talked about briefly before I pressed the record button, because what you were saying was too good for me not to capture on air. So if you think the show started weird, that's because it was gold, Jerry. It was gold, and we needed to keep it going. So there was an article that I sent you, and the headline of the article was former WWE champion currently, in quotes, off the board for creative ideas. And so Patrick, let me ask you this. We're going to approach this a little bit differently. When you see just the headline, when you see that headline, former WWE champion currently off the board for creative ideas, what does that make you as the reader think you're going into when you click to read this?
Well, as somebody who read that headline earlier in the day and did click to read it, I clicked it because I wanted to know who had had a falling out with WWE Creative. Like, who had the famous creative has nothing for you
right
statement? That is the impression that I was given by said headline.
And it's funny because you say that when I read these headlines and I see something that says like former WWE champion, I'm so jaded that I literally go in thinking, all right, what kind of bullshit am I going to see? Like what?
Oh, yeah.
What former WWE champion? Like, it's going to be about Jinder Mahal, or it's going to be about, I don't know, Bob Backlund, you know, or just, right. Just something that it made me think it's like Finn Balor or Seth Rollins.
Yeah, not the most impactful. Yeah,
it's AJ Styles, when really, no, it's like somebody else. You know, it's Daniel Bryan Danielson, who's off the board creatively because he doesn't work there. Whatever, right? It could be,
right.
and then it turns out to not be that. So you clicked in to see who this was. I clicked in to see what wrestler they were trying to angle and do whatever. Now, Patrick O'Dowd, when you did click on the article, what was it actually about?
It was about a guy I was very high on for a long time, Braun Strowman, and the fact that he's injured and won't be working for a while because he's injured.
So let me ask you this question. We're talking. If you were publishing this article, what might you put as a headline?
I mean, I might go as far as to say, former WWE champion out indefinitely with injury or something. Like, I would state what, at least the injury part of it. I might, for the clicks, if you will, leave that former WWE champion thing
right
quiet, because then it's like that gets you to be like, oh, so who? But I definitely wouldn't imply it's not what it's about.
I don't think saying former WWE champion currently, you know, out indefinitely, I don't think that's bad. I would not blame someone for that. The job of the headline is to get you to come in and read the article, but it's also to lead you in the right direction of the article. I don't think you have to say it's Braun Strowman in the headline. You could say Braun Strowman out indefinitely. I think people would still click. But former WWE champion opens up who is this? So I get that. So I'm okay with the former WWE champion half of the headline. I am just not okay with the other half, where it's off the board for
off the board
ideas. I have a problem with that because, yes, he's off the board for creative ideas, but that's not the news. The news is that he's injured. The news is that he came back from injury, worked two matches, and then was gone again. And that is a misleading headline. Now this website does not allow for comments on their articles, from what I can tell, at least not on the mobile version. So I do not see anyone pointing this out. And that's the great thing I love about readers. no matter what website this garbage is posted on, and the garbage here is not the article, the garbage here is the headline. No matter what website this stuff gets posted on, someone will point this out in the comments. And I love them for it. Like, they will say, that's not even what this was about at all. Like, they will actually point that out. And to your point,
by the way, other websites did not run with a headline like this.
No.
As I'm looking at another website that says, Braun Strowman reportedly out of action due to injury.
See, that's the way it should be.
Good job, Jeffrey Harris.
Back on that same website as before. But
it's,
that's
it's
the way
in my
it should be.
Marks. It's just easy.
No, I know. It's I'm not complaining whatsoever. I think it's a good thing. But it just makes me laugh when, yeah, that's just all stupid. It's just all very, very stupid and did not make me smile at all as someone who does occasionally still write about wrestling on the internet. So, yeah, there's just better ways to do these things, and that's not one of those ways. So Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to play the You Just Made the List soundbite, but guess what? It ain't going to happen because apparently that program doesn't want to work. And, you know, I did update. My computer did do some updates, and I'm wondering if it's either a Zoom setting or a voice meter setting. I don't know, but
Before we do that, I gotta get your thoughts on one other internet news thing floating around, since it's floating around thanks to PW Insider.
Oh boy, I think I know where you're going. I think I saw this.
You don't have to go into depth on it.
No,
but
it's
hey,
okay.
Did you know that AJ Styles' appearance last night on WWE Raw was a last minute decision made by Vince McMahon?
So I have a question about that. As a podcaster, I have to decide if I want to get there the long way or the short way. And with your did he not, it makes me think you're going to get there the short way. If AJ Styles, if you're thinking something different, then by all means you can spell it out. AJ Styles is on the SmackDown roster. He is a SmackDown superstar. He acknowledged in his promo that he is a SmackDown superstar and not supposed to be there on Raw. Would he have been flown to wherever Raw was if he was not planned to be on that show? They don't bring the entire roster. They don't bring all the SmackDown people to Raw. They don't bring all the Raw people to SmackDown now. And that's why the travel schedule is much better than it used to be years gone. Like, you work at most 3 days a week. You either work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or you work Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's the schedule and how it works now. And if you're not on the house show loop that weekend, you're just working the day of TV. It's great. It's much better for the talent. It's much better for their families, much better for their lives. I don't know how last minute AJ Styles could be when there's travel involved and you had to get him there and you had to get him into the event. I would imagine that they planned on having AJ at television before he left before the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because his return trip and return plans and everything had to be decided upon. Or maybe they decided then, and wherever they landed coming into America from Saudi Arabia, at that point, instead of flying back home to Georgia, he went to wherever Raw was. And I cannot for the life of me remember where Raw was, even though I watched it earlier today. It just can't be a last minute decision.
Right. I completely disagree that it was a last minute decision. This is just something that this is beautifully made up stuff. My question, this is just WWE booking logic 101 for me. Who did AJ Styles wrestle in Saudi Arabia?
He wrestled against Seth Rollins in the historic inaugural crowning of the new World Heavyweight Champion.
Now, I didn't see it, but how were they after Seth won the match? Was it just like AJ rolled out and let Seth have his moment? Was there any sort of handshake, like, you know,
there was not business? There was nothing between them after the match was over. Because Triple H entered the ring and presented Seth Rollins with the championship raised his hand.
So that was
right. So there was a moment, but the moment was not between Seth and AJ.
But there
both
was,
of whom are baby faces, by the way.
Right, what's that?
Both of whom are baby faces, good guys.
So two baby faces wrestled each other two days before to do, over this title, and then he got his back on Raw in a way that has happened all the time when baby faces have worked matches against each other in pay-per-views previous. In
especially a match that's supposed to be epic. Supposed to be historic. Right.
So, yeah, I'm just saying, like, the WWE does this all the time. This wasn't, like, Vince McMahon didn't call from a phone and be like, you know what? Fly him to Raw. On a whim. He just didn't do that. Now we can make the list. Now I'm ready for the list. There were no betrayals.
There were betrayals on Night of Champions.
No, I read about that betrayal, but not during that match. Like there was no
there was not a betrayal during that match whatsoever. Match was great. Gotcha. Event was great. The only match that I thought wasn't so great was the Asuka versus Bianca. And I just think they're both great performers. They just don't gel. Overall, everything that I saw this weekend, I saw Battleground. Thought it was really good. Tiffany Stratton is the future of the women's division on the main roster for sure. And there's first time I ever enjoyed a Lyra Valkyria match, who was her opponent. Talented, but she just never put it all together. But that match was great. Like there's a lot of good stuff that happened in Battleground. A lot of good stuff happened in Night of Champions. I did not watch Double or Nothing, not because I don't like AEW, but because it ain't free. On the WWE Network. So it ain't $4.99 a month because I have the lowest tier possible. If it ends up on Max in the future, then I
we'll see what happens.
Then I might end up watching these things. I probably would, to be honest with you. So I watched Dynamite on Wednesday during work on Thursday just to see the build up to the pay-per-view. It was 50-50 for me. I would give every match a C and rate it a 6 out of 10. So there you go.
I see what you did there. That's all right.
So, yes, you just made the list. Soundbite doesn't work. Patrick O'Dowd, what is our list this week?
Well, the reason I asked about betrayals is because this week's list is wrestling betrayals. We're gonna give you a list of wrestling betrayals today. And I'm excited.
This is like, and maybe someday we'll have to revisit this. This could be a super list. Like, this
it could totally be. It honestly could be a super list. Yeah. There's another one I left off that I just forgot that I left
off. There's so many of them. I mean, and we could make lists independently and easily come up with who knows how many. Like, there are so many that we could do. So, yeah, there's tons of tons of great.
Yeah, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for today to pick from.
I got at least that.
Just to have.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. So, wrestling betrayals. As you know, it's Patrick O'Dowd's list. That means I will go first. And adding 1, 3, and 5, Patrick O'Dowd will add the evens. Then we will go back and we will put this list in order 1 through 6. And we are going to have so many amazing betrayals left off the list because my first one, Patrick O'Dowd, is definitely a personal choice, not a wrestling historic choice. But that's what this is. These are our lists. This is what we do. My first one is, you know what? I think I've realized why the sound bites aren't working.
Oh, nice.
And now it has me concerned that the show might not be properly recording. But I think it is, because when you go ahead and talk.
Hello?
Yeah, see, you're showing up. Okay. You're showing on the little up and down thing on the equalizer.
I strive to be up and down.
You are working. So I'll worry about the sound bites later. I don't really need them. Damn it, we can do a show without sound bites. We didn't even have an opening, so, you know, it all worked out.
Right. We're rolling today.
Anyway, my first betrayal for the list of betrayals. This is the only show I have to record tonight, so, you know, I can do whatever. Goes all the way back to, I believe it was Clash of the Champions number 10 for WWE. One of my favorite moments in wrestling history that is definitely a playlist and personal preference. During the months building up to this, Jim Cornette was managing both the Midnight Express and the dynamic dudes of Johnny Ace and I believe Shane Douglas. Yeah, Shane Douglas.
Yes, sir.
And they were riding out on skateboards and they were doing whatever. And there was some jealousy amongst the Midnight Express because of this, because they felt Jim Cornette was spending too much of his time with the shiny new toys and the dynamic dudes. So they had a match. And the big question mark was, whose corner is Jim Cornette going to be in? So, you know, big moment, climax of the match. Cornette gets in the ring. I believe Stan Lane or Bob Eaton tries to use a tennis racket. Cornette grabs it from him. He blasts one of the dynamic dudes with a tennis racket himself, turning his back on the dynamic dudes and re-solidifying his position with the Midnight Express. Young Greg jumped out of his seat with excitement, just like the crowd did when the heel turned on the baby face. Like, that was how bad the dynamic dudes were and how amazing Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express were, that no one wanted to see him with the dynamic dudes. And that's why the crowd popped when order was restored and Jim Cornette was still with the Midnight Express. So Jim Cornette turning on the dynamic dudes, Clash of the Champions 10, is my first addition to the list of wrestling betrayals.
All right. My first one is very legitimately controversial.
Legitimately, okay.
Legitimately controversial.
I already know what it is, but keep going.
The WWF in the early 90s, we're heading into WrestleMania 7. Sergeant Slaughter betrays America, and Hulkamania turns his back on his military background and basically swears loyalty to Saddam Hussein.
Which is hilarious just to hear you say it that way.
But he does.
Oh, he does. It's amazing to look back on it and think of where the world was and where the world is.
And, I mean, it's one of my favorite circles to hear Bruce Pritchard talk around is, you know, I know you've waned on your appreciation of Conrad Thompson's podcast.
But I still listen to that one, mainly because of Bruce.
But Bruce talking around the burning of the Hogan shirt instead of a flag. He's like, we didn't burn a flag.
Even though Jesse Ventura, the former Marine and governor, wanted them to.
Right. It just... It's still to this day. It's as a kid, I was like that son of a bitch. But it's still like that one stays with me forever. So Sergeant Slaughter betrays America is what I have for my first selection.
It wasn't even on my list of options. That's why I like this list, because I do think that we have such
we go in different directions a lot.
We can go in different directions. I am going to go in another direction, probably on your list of options, though I don't know if it would have made your top three. Just because, even though, in my opinion, it's one of the two or three greatest storyline moments in the history of professional wrestling, at least in the WrestleMania era, which is my life as a wrestling fan, so that's why I always go by that. Bash at the Beach, 1996. The Outsiders tease the third man, face a team of WCW wrestlers. All hell breaks loose. Who comes out to make the save but none other than Hulk Hogan, who rips off the t-shirt, turns on Randy Savage, turns his back against the fans, his back against WCW, and becomes the leader of what we would eventually know as the New World Order. The NWO. And unfortunately, when I watch and see the Elite and the Bullet Club and the OC and the Judgment Day, the most influential faction in wrestling history, the New World Order. So
right.
Hulk Hogan turning his back on everybody, and Hulk Hogan turning is basically
directly below Slaughter Betrays America was Hogan Betrays WCW. So we were on the same page there. I am going to go back to the WWE for this next. Oh, this is so hard. Isn't it though? that choice made. It took one off of the list of which one do I pick next, and now I only have three with two spots remaining, and it's which one am I going to leave out?
Well, I'll say this.
So,
even though I have some – no, I won't say this. I was about to say if you don't pick one, there's one specific one that if you don't pick, I would pick next, but that's actually a lie because there's one that I have over it that I'm going to pick. So never mind.
So I am going to stick with the mid-90s, though.
Okay.
And I am going to stick with a WrestleMania main event. D-Generation X is riding high. Shawn Michaels is the world heavyweight champion, and he has got a guy in his corner.
He sure does.
He's got one baddest man on the planet, Mike Tyson.
Sure does.
And Mike Tyson was all about the DX until WrestleMania itself. When a Stone Cold shirt was revealed and he sides with Stone Cold Steve Austin and helps Austin defeat Shawn Michaels and kick off the biggest turnaround in WWE history.
Absolutely. They were already there at that point. So, all right. So you still might be able to put this other option on the list if you choose to go there with your third and final choice. But I am going with what I believe will be the most recent turn on the list. It happened a few years ago. And it happened in what is typically my favorite company to watch, and that's NXT. There was a tag team that, it's amazing to think this, but like could not get signed by the company. They were working on a per deal basis when far lesser talented wrestlers were signed to actual contracts. They had a match against each other during the Cruiserweight Classic. They were working singles matches and eventually gained their initial WWE stardom as a tag team known as DIY. I thought you were going to turn down the volume when that happened. I'm just kidding.
I tried. Didn't get it down all the way.
You got to do what you got to do. It's all good.
I'll just full unmute myself next time. My bad.
No, it's okay. Cause then you might forget. DIY went, you know, stardom and fame and everything. And that of course is friends of the program, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. And they had some amazing tag team matches and really one of the best teams that I've ever seen work together. And we'll be back together again soon when Ciampa comes back. They've been teasing that on Raw with their segments in the way where like almost everybody in that faction's injured right now. So we're just going to do backstage segments. And we'll augment them by adding another injured guy when he comes back. But after they were not able to beat the Authors of Pain for the NXT Tag Team Championships, I believe in Chicago, they were leaving, all dejected. Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, blah, blah, blah. And to which point, Tommaso Ciampa, and NXT did this brilliantly. They put up the end of show graphic in the corner of the screen that tells you it's about to go off the air. As they're having their arms around each other and consoling each other. And the camera zooms in close and you hear Tommaso Ciampa tell Johnny Gargano, "It's okay. This just wasn't our moment." And then he looks at him and goes, "Because it's my moment." Turns around, slams him headfirst into the video board, continues to beat the crap out of him for another good 5 to 10 minutes, including a huge spot off of some rigging, down through some tables, and breaking the hearts of NXT fans everywhere when Tommaso Ciampa, for the first time, turned on, betrayed Johnny Gargano, and pretty much everybody who ever loved NXT.
Excellent choice. And I kind of figured it would be on your list because of your love of those two. in that thing. Yes. So not a surprise at all.
It was tough to not pick the other thing that I am assuming you're going to pick, which you may not.
I'm actually probably not, because I'm going to go way back in time for my last choice. And this is, I'm honest to God. What?
How far back are we talking?
1982.
You're not putting the one on the list that I was talking about.
No, I know I'm not. Because on Christmas Day in 1982, Terry Bam Bam Gordy slams the cage door on Kerry Von Erich's head, allowing Ric Flair to win the world heavyweight, or retain his world heavyweight championship. In a match officiated by one Michael P.S. Hayes, it would lead to, at the time, the Freebirds and the Von Erichs were aligned, were baby faces. They had worked trios, tag teams. They'd filled in for various Von Erich boys. And all of this then led to betrayal when Terry Bam Bam Gordy slams the cage door onto Kerry Von Erich's head during a title match versus Ric Flair in a steel cage, Christmas Day, 1982. Ric Flair retains. He goes back to travel in the other territories, and arguably the greatest feud. It's easily the greatest feud in WCCW.
Yes.
But absolutely, the greatest feud of the early 80s. The early 80s, like, period. Like,
and it's funny too, because I think a lot of more people know of the feud than people who know how the feud started.
Yeah, like, and this is one of the things that the first thing I watched on the WWE Network when it first launched was old WCCW episodes, and they're gone now. It's a shame how much of that is gone from Peacock that's been taken off. Like, they have highlights of the Von Erich. Like, there are episodes with the Von Erich Freebirds feud, but they had the whole thing. Like, they had the teaming up and the stuff that they were doing with David and Kerry and all of that in the trios tag team stuff. Mm-hmm. And they held the title together. They had everything leading up to Ric Flair dodging Kerry left and right, and then they had the cage match, and they had the whole thing, and you could watch it, and that shit was hot and real and was crazy.
God, yes,
to watch. It's just amazing to go watch, because here's the thing: I was 4 when that thing broke down, so I watched it. Like, this feud is so good, everybody. I went back in the past to check it out. Like, I watched old footage. It was like, this shit's amazing, and saw it through. Like, this is like better than anything I ever saw in the AWA, better than Hogan and Andre. Like, period. Loved it. End of discussion. Feud of the 80s.
That's
in my
amazing
opinion, until you got to 86 in Flair and Dusty.
Like it's having the, it's a tried and true formula that if you can pull off, it works. Having the hometown boys, the homegrown talent, the beloved local talent, even if they're not homegrown, but they are the staples. I remember when I was first ever doing the wrestling back in Rising Phoenix Wrestling, we had this one babyface who I kept saying, he's our Dusty. And no one understood what I was saying. They were like, he's no fat. He's not the comedy. I was like, no, he's our Dusty Rhodes. Like, he fills that role of Dusty Rhodes. If we just use him that way, you could do anything. And of course they didn't, but yeah, that's literally a blueprint. Like, if you can follow, and it's just, it's one of the reasons why to this day, when we did match types and I had hundreds of match types at my disposal, and I put 6-man tag team match on the list because you can do so much. And because I've seen so many of them as a kid that were done at such a high level and had such high stakes attached to them, that I love that concept and that format, and try to book them when I can. So yeah, absolutely.
So the one I didn't pick, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to see if it's the one that you thought I was going to pick.
Oh, of course it is.
Evolution betrays Randy Orton.
No.
No. Which one do you think it was going to be?
Shawn Michaels super kicks Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
No, we've already used that in another list somewhere.
We don't have that rule.
I know we don't, but I left it off because I didn't want to repeat it.
Oh,
I actually don't have it on my list at all because.
Seriously, you don't have that on your list at all?
Nope. I have the Freebirds betray the Von Erichs. Evolution betrays Randy Orton. Trish betrays Y2J. Slaughter betrays America. Hogan betrays WCW. Scott Steiner betrays Rick. Both times the Horseman betrayed Sting. Because it happened twice.
It happened twice.
And Tyson betrays DX. That was my list. Those were my options.
I had Trish, but I had Trish and Christian betray Y2J because it was I do love that moment in time.
Double cross. It was over the Canadian dollar. I mean, that's big time.
The one Canadian dollar, yeah. All three of them actually Canadian too. But yeah, because that one was so much fun. Okay. So I don't have a soundbite. You just made the list. But we have our six. We have Jim Cornette betraying the Dynamic Dudes, Sergeant Slaughter betraying America, Hulk Hogan betrays WCW, Mike Tyson betrays DX, Tommaso Ciampa betrays Johnny Gargano, and the Fabulous Freebirds betray Kerry Von Erich. Those are the six items that are on the list. We will now put those in order, 1 through 6, starting with Patrick O'Dowd. First, we're going to take another commercial break. The commercial won't play because I'm afraid to change the setting that I know I need to change, knowing that it might cause nothing to work. So we'll be right back. And now we are back. So now we are going to take the list where I can't play the soundbite. God, these soundbites, I'm so reliant on them. And we're going to put this list in order. This was Patrick O'Dowd's list of wrestling betrayals. Therefore, he gets to go first. We will take turns putting the six items that I recapped before the commercial in order, and we will have our list. So Patrick O'Dowd, you know the six items. What is going to be number one on this week's list of wrestling betrayals?
I got to tell you, I love how we revealed our picks this week in laying out our list, because we both went like personal, big time, kind of personal.
Yeah, we really did. We really did.
And I got to pick the biggest of big time for the first one. It's got to be Hogan betrays WCW. That is literally the landmark moment of wrestling in the 90s. Like, it reignited professional wrestling in the 90s.
I totally agree. I mean, it's you know, along with the Montreal Screwjob, one of the two biggest angles in the history of professional.
Right.
Like, right. Absolutely is. So, Norm, if you've listened to the list that we've done and the patterns that we have, there's like this unwritten, unspoken, we've never talked about it rule that, like, if Patrick puts one of mine on the list, then I'll put one of his on the list. It's like this gentleman's agreement. No, I am putting number two on the list. Tommaso Ciampa turning his back and betraying Johnny Gargano because of how much I loved it, because of the feud, the years that it led to. It is literally a modern day version of some of those old school feuds that we just saw. So I am putting Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano number two on the list of wrestling betrayals.
I mean, I've never really thought of it as a gentleman's agreement. It's usually just a recognition of whose choices, like, if we're actually ranking this shit.
It's just how,
like,
it usually goes. It's,
you know, respect. But I'm gonna go with Tyson betraying DX and kicking off the other, you know, kind of the final nail in the linchpin of rebuilding WWE.
And at that point, because of the history involved and because of how historic it was, I've got to go with the Fabulous Freebirds turning on Kerry Von Erich and slamming the steel cage door as number four on the list, because it literally wrote wrestling history and is still a blueprint that can be followed today.
Fair enough. Nothing against the Dynamic Dudes. I am definitely going with Slaughter betraying America and the shitstorm that caused, both in the real world and in the professional wrestling world, as our number five.
Which leaves me with number six, my personal favorite, Jim Cornette realigning with the Midnight Express and betraying the Dynamic Dudes at Clash of the Champions 10 in New York. That, of course, is the famous Clash of the Champions with the Ric Flair, Terry Funk, I Quit match. So, to recap our list of items. Number one, Hulk Hogan betrays WCW and forms the NWO. Number two, Tommaso Ciampa betrays Johnny Gargano, leading to their years-long feud. Number three, Mike Tyson betrays DX and Shawn Michaels loses the WWF Championship. Number four, the Fabulous Freebirds betray Kerry Von Erich, costing him his opportunity at the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship in a steel cage against Ric Flair. Number five, Sergeant Slaughter betrays the entire United States of America when he becomes an Iraqi sympathizer. And number six, Jim Cornette betrays the Dynamic Dudes and realigns with the Midnight Express. Congratulations to all parties involved. You just made the list. So Patrick O'Dowd, we got 3 minutes, then we're out of here. The clock is ticking.
Clock is ticking.
We're in the clear.
We're in the clear.
3 minutes, then we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, then we're out. We're out. We got 3 minutes. So, I don't have anything planned for the 3 minute warning. Really anything at all. Actually, I was trying to think of a question to ask and I don't. So, do you have anything for the people?
I don't have anything for the people, but I'll ask you one question. How long do you want Seth Rollins to hold his newly acquired title?
Okay, see now.
This is a you want. This isn't yes. What you think.
Oh, yeah, no. You okay. Asked the wrong person this question. Because you know how my brain works. You know I've thought this whole thing
that's,
through.
That's why I asked you the question.
Because you want the show to be another
that's
hour
a
long.
Stupid, that's a stupid response. I don't want it to be another hour, but 6 minutes is fine.
Yeah.
You can double the 3 minutes.
Nine, whatever it might be. So here's how I have it booked in my head. And do I need to explain the end first? Because all roads lead to Roman Reigns. And the key word there is roads. So I would have Seth Rollins hold this championship until Survivor Series is when I would have him lose it. Because I believe the Survivor Series main event should be War Games. I believe it should be the Bloodline. By then, they'll be back together again. And I believe they should battle probably the LWO, if not the OC. That's – you'd have to add some people, do whatever. But that's my – it's what I believe they should do and what I believe should happen in WWE, then leading towards, Roman versus AJ or Roman versus Rey at the Royal Rumble. Because you can get there. Seth Rollins loses the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to Cody Rhodes at Survivor Series. Seth Rollins wins the Royal Rumble, goes on to challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, where he does not win. Cody Rhodes retains the championship. We move forward, and then eventually WrestleMania 41 happens, and that's where Cody Rhodes beats Roman Reigns for his championships that he has. That's what I think should happen, because while I'm all for the long championship reigns they've done, and I have no problems with those, I think a moment will be also when this title changes hands. And I do believe that Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are both ideal people to carry this championship and will carry it in different ways and will do amazing things with it. I also think that Seth Rollins deserves that shot at Roman Reigns and to do it at WrestleMania. Again, I'm also going with the assumption that Roman's not losing until after he passes 1,474 days, which is next September 2024. So I have all those assumptions in mind, but I do think that because that championship should be defended more frequently, title changes are moments, and title changes are moments in time that are a part of a belt's history and would be a part of this championship history. Seth winning it over AJ Styles is a moment in history. Seth losing it to Cody Rhodes will be a moment in history. Notice the first two instances of this belt changing hands involves three different, essentially, Hall of Famers, because they're all going to be Hall of Famers.
Right.
And this is what we do when we establish a championship. I don't need anybody new to get a rub. I don't need any of that kind of stuff. We are not worried about establishing a performer. We are worried about establishing a championship. And I do think they will do just that. And it still allows me to get in the things that I want on my playlist. I thought Cody should have been the first champion, but I'm really enjoying the feud with Brock Lesnar, so I'm not upset. I love Seth freaking Rollins. I've often said he's the best wrestler in the world right now. in the ring, on the microphone, everything. And some people say he's just a song. And if that's what you believe, then I'm sorry for you. Go watch AEW, where MJF wrestles far less than Roman Reigns does, and no one complains about it, even though they complain about Roman Reigns. And we won't even get into New Japan. We're talking about the top three world champions in the world. Roman defends his belt more than the other two combined, probably. So that's what I would do. So that's how long I think he should hold it. But that's a byproduct of other things that I have in my brain to happen. But I do also believe that moment can help establish the championship and its prestige. I will say this. To me, there would be some value in having that title change hands on Raw instead of a pay-per-view. TV is the most important commodity in the company right now. And there's nothing wrong. And plenty of championships have changed hands on television. Although we just changed two on a pay-per-view. We've had women's tag titles and Gunther won the Intercontinental Championship on television. Like there's things that we can do that are on television that will still do that. But a world title changing hand, I don't think that's happened since The Miz lost to Bob Lashley before WrestleMania 27 or 37. I think that's the last time a world title has changed hands on television. So, because McIntyre won it from Orton on television, but that was before then because that was still in the Thunderdome. So was The Miz in Thunderdome. But I don't believe a world title has changed hands on television since then, unless I'm forgetting something with the WWE Championship before it got merged with. Now, Big E did win his on television because he cashed in on a Raw. So, on Bob Lashley. So I guess that blows my argument out of the water. But so it's still been since, 2022? So I guess not that, or 2021. So been over a year since a world title has changed hands on television. So I think that's so what do you think? I guess I'll ask you both questions. First off, answer your own question. When should Seth Rollins lose this championship in your mind?
I mean, I had it at a similar timeline. I think I had him taking it to the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Maybe just a little bit further, but yeah, I didn't see him. And kind of what you were talking about, like establish it with your Hall of Famers, defend it over a few Hall of Famers before losing it to Cody at the Rumble, and then having Cody set up for now what it feels like an eternity, because it seems like Mania gets further and further away from the Rumble, so it does lend itself well to a couple of title defenses before defending against whoever his big foe would be at WrestleMania, and I'd have him retain there. So what was question number two?
I would have him retain there as well. I would have Cody retain at WrestleMania. I think also adds to the prestige. A champion successfully defending their title at WrestleMania also adds to the prestige, maybe more so than the belt changing hands at WrestleMania. My other question was, now I don't remember. It was related to this completely, and I don't remember, and maybe you answered it with your line of questioning, I don't know, or with your additional comments that you had, but I don't remember what question number two was, and I purposely saved it so that because I hate when people ask two questions at the same time, and now I see why they do, because they might forget one of them. So
either
it was pure brilliance, or we already heard the answer and don't even realize it yet. One of the two things.
It's fine. Either way, we'll get called out for it in the comments later.
Let them. So there you go. There you have it.
We get called out by friendly fire. I appreciate you, Ori. She calls me out all the time.
Nothing wrong with friendly fire. Nope. I do like the stuff that she asks, and she does it publicly on Twitter, and I enjoy that. So
yeah.
Hopefully she does that.
I'm sure I'll catch some grief about the betrayal thing in the list. I know a lot of people are probably incensed that Shawn Michaels betraying Marty did not.
But you have your reasons. You had your reasons, Patrick O'Dowd, and those reasons
have. I always have reasons.
It's your list. It's our list, and no one. We have never.
That's why I empirically evaluate pay-per-views. Oh, sorry, premium live events.
We have never, vetoed anything on the list. We've never done anything like that. We've never heavily questioned the inclusion of something on a list because it's our list. It's not a top list. We don't call it a top six. We don't call it anything like that. It is just the list. That's why if we were to go back and redo, maybe sometime I'll try to figure out what our first ever list was and we'll redo it and see how different it is. That would be Because it really is a moment in time. It's the list as we see it today. It really is. So, and it's become one of the most fun things that we've done. And we've been doing it consistently since like October of last year, which is kind of crazy. So I will take that. So because we didn't do it earlier in the show and because not having the sound threw everything off, this is, of course, the Greg DeMarco Show. You're listening, part of the ChairShot Radio Network at thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. You can listen to the show there at thechairshot.com or on all of your favorite streaming platforms like iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, and so many more. Like, subscribe, leave us that 5-star review. Tell a friend. Go follow the website at ChairShot Media. Go follow Patrick O'Dowd because, you know, he's got the Patrick 500 or 600 or wherever we're at right now at Wrestling Realist.
Not even close to 500.
So it's the Patrick 500 once again. What was the highest you ever got? Was like 506 or 516 or something like that?
We were almost there.
You've passed.
We got over it. Then we have I don't know where I am now. Profile. Yeah, I'm all the way down to 469. Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
What's great is that. Oh, I just went to Twitter. Oh my God, I have to say this. I'm sorry. You know how you can subscribe to people's tweets?
Sure.
There's like subscriber only. And I didn't realize that when you subscribe to somebody, like there are subscriber only tweets.
Oh.
I'm being told this because someone that I follow subscribed to this account. Suggestion off Twitter. Subscribe to Brian Alvarez.
And get access
to 1,227 subscriber-only tweets.
Wow. Yeah, also, for what it's worth, out of those 469, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of my most recent follows, not real people.
Well, we appreciate them getting you to the glorious number that is 469.
Nice.
And if you want to join Patrick O'Dowd and knock him off of his nice perch, you can follow him at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. You did not mishear. You heard that right. There is no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd, you can follow me at GregDeMarco44. And again, follow the website at ChairShot Media. It is thechairshot.com. It is sports. It is entertainment. It is sports entertainment. It is all there for you at thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. We are hitting the summertime, Patrick O'Dowd. That's where the topics can get real fun, real crazy. Of course, we had a lot of fun today and didn't even have anything planned. It's just that, you know, you start talking, I press record, and there we go. Hour and 10 minutes.
That's how the magic happens, baby.
Almost. That's where we are. So we appreciate you listening. We will do this again next week. Until next time, always use a head of yours.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.